This thing's on. Are you ready, Josh?
I'm ready, Ken.
Hey, it's the Afternoons with Josh and Ken. We're back talking about a lot of things.
You kind of went Pittsburgh a little bit.
Did I go Pittsburgh?
You went a little Pittsburgh there, man.
I wish I exactly knew what Pittsburgh was. You've explained it to me many times. I just don't know.
It's hard to start with a word like talk. Because you're going to want to go into talk like it's like Brooklyn or Bronx or
Brooklyn's
New York.
Brooklyn's the go-to.
Like talk. But like if you're hanging out with a Pittsburgh, you're talk. Like you talk. It's like a harder, it's a hard AL.
I never grew up thinking Pittsburgh had an accent, but you have changed my mind.
Better believe it. They let me do my Pittsburgh accent on the WGN Movies for America, and my co-host was like, they don't talk like that. I was like, oh
they do.
They talk like that.
Yeah, then I go to your wedding, and 60% of the attendees were from Pittsburgh, and I was like, oh, there's definitely an accent.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and they definitely love their Pittsburgh sports.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to talk about that a bit here today, but we want to start with news of the world. Josh, have you been following this thing with Mark Zuckerberg, Lex Luthor himself?
Yeah, really and truly, he is Lex Luthor. I never even thought about it like that. I guess you need a brain that hits another plane like yours, Ken.
I don't, but yes. Someone else wrote it and I took it.
You know, in the movie, in the Facebook movie, how they portray him makes total sense to me. Yes. I mean, that's who he is. He's just... And then you watch something like a Silicon Valley, right? Yeah. And not to bring up T.J. Miller, who had a fake bomb threat.
Good job there.
That's a solid idea.
We've all talked about
doing a fake bomb threat as a joke to get friends out of work on like a Friday happy hour.
Look,
but we've never done it.
Look, man, side note. I had an ex-employee. I worked in the security business. As a joke, called into our office on the way to the work at 6 in the morning and said it was the bomb in the mall, thinking that the guy who answered the phone, Nick, knew that it was Eddie. And Nick didn't know, and all my guys did what they were supposed to do. So I show up to work, get a call, police are there, and we didn't know. And then 4 months later, Eddie comes to my office and sits down and goes, remember that? That was me. So I was like, did you tell anybody? He goes, well, the FBI called me, so I think they know. They traced the number.
They pinged the cell.
So we had to fire him, the poor kid. He was a good kid. He goes, I was messing around with Nick, and Nick didn't hear it was me.
Unbelievable.
So, anyways, TJ, good job.
Yeah, way to go.
Anyways, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook on trial. Well, here's the thing.
You and I both are not fans of Facebook. I am definitely more of an Instagram, Twitter guy, even though I know Facebook owns Instagram. And when Facebook came in and bought Instagram, they ruined the whole thing because they took the feed from being chronological to being the most clicked on things. And now all I get is a picture from 2 days ago of a friend doing something, and I'll text him and be like, yo, I didn't know you were by my place. You should look me up. He's like, I was there Wednesday.
Yeah, what are you doing?
They ruined the whole thing. Yeah. I never go on Facebook anymore, mostly because what I hate about Facebook is that if you accept somebody's friend request, you see all of their updates all the time.
Right.
Instead of they can just follow you on an Instagram or something like that.
Right.
So my feed is clogged with people that I have no idea who they are, thanks to Schmodown or Collider or whatever.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't know who these people are, and I don't know about their life. So
go back to the beginning of Facebook, and I was there when it was still just a college thing. So
my first year of Facebook was when I was still in college.
Oh, okay. So my girlfriend at the time was in college, and I got invited in 2006. I was like, this is stupid. I want to go back to MySpace.
Right, right.
And now...
Because I had a theme song when you clicked on my MySpace page.
But here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
We make fun of Tom and MySpace, and it was outdated, and it got a little weird. But there was something more about MySpace that I liked a little bit more.
Yes.
The closer-knit community, people that you knew, you could blog easier, all these kind of things.
100%. I love the blog aspect.
I used to write MySpace every week. When I got to Facebook, it was like notes. I got to put it in notes and no one's going to see it. So I still use Facebook. It's still a place to put all my pictures.
Yes.
And keep track of some family members, but...
No, yeah. I don't want to throw a name, but a good friend of ours, and he said that he went in and deleted, upwards of 2,000 people from his Facebook because he just didn't know anybody on his Facebook anymore.
Let me check if I'm still friends with Mark Ellis.
And it makes sense. And then, I started a fan page, but I never update it. And I have the Josh McCuga Show page, which I'll throw videos on and stuff like that. And that's fine. But I rarely go on Facebook anymore. So if I don't follow you on Instagram, I may not know what's going on with your life because if you're like, hey, post it on Facebook, I'm never going to see it. Right. I'm never going to see it because the algorithm has totally screwed us all.
Yep. I had some old friends from my old job, the old security job.
Yeah.
Right. Me, hey man, you never respond to my Facebook stuff. I post funny stuff on my page. Now that's debatable, but I'm like, yeah, man, I don't go on Facebook.
No. I have. Why would you?
I claim territories. Like, yeah. Ken Napsok is the official Facebook page. It's my only blue check mark in life, okay. Right? I hold on to that. Napsok Files. Casterly Talk, the show I'm developing and trying to get out there. And that's a good example, because Casterly Talk's a show not in production now, but uh-huh. I have that name. It's out there.
Yeah.
That's what I use it for.
No, I get it. Mm-hmm. I saw a funny sketch about, you know, people acting as their social medias in real life, and Facebook has honestly become that kind of site for moms a little bit.
Yeah.
But it also, what happened with Facebook is it got so busy. Mm-hmm. When you look at a Facebook page, it is so busy. That's the one nice thing about Twitter that they haven't done. Yeah. It's still just a scrolling feed thing. And there's maybe a video on the side, and there's right. still your trending hashtags. It's a very simple social media, and I yeah. really like it.
Same with Instagram, yeah.
Instagram too, but then when Facebook came and they ruined the whole Instagram yeah. algorithm, it's kind of screwed it up. And I saw a funny meme on Instagram that said, if Instagram changed today, what would you want it to be back? And it said chronological timeline. And then it was like, if Instagram really fixed one thing, what would it be? And they were like, chronological timeline. And then Instagram replies with like a thought bubble of, I guess we'll never know, right? Because that's all we want. It's just the yeah. chronological feed.
Yeah.
And
I think LinkedIn has it.
Yeah, LinkedIn's got it. But back to Zuckerberg.
Yeah, Zuckerberg.
I think Zuckerberg ruins a lot of good things, mm-hmm. right? I think yeah. that he has ruined a ton of fun things. Like Facebook used to be fun.
It did.
Now it's just a place where I think that I want a pair of pants, and then all of a sudden the next day that pair of pants is advertised to me on Facebook.
Yes.
There's nothing on Facebook. You can't even post YouTube links and people see them. You have to upload the actual videos, which has killed the Josh McCuga show in a certain yeah. extent. As far as Facebook views go.
Facebook goes, yeah.
Because if you post a YouTube link, because Facebook doesn't own Google and Google owns YouTube,
yeah.
then they're going to bury a YouTube link. You have to upload direct to Facebook. The Facebook player is not the best.
Right. No.
And then he goes and he sells all of our stuff to Russia?
Yes. And I'm Russian and I don't know if I like that. Now,
where is our data going? At one point, I think my phone number was on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that stuff's kind of weird. So here's I look at this in different ways. In general, and okay. I'll say in general, I'm never worried about the NSA listening to me, my information being shared, because I don't feel guilty or too worried about it, and I believe in some form of national defense. But sure. that said, there was without a doubt something malicious to this angle of a big company going, we got you.
100%.
Because I'm not worried about what Russia's going to do to me here, other than maybe mess with elections. But I am more worried about who's got my information yes. in my town.
Right, right.
You know, that's where it starts to unravel.
And why
me.
Do they want it? What do they want it for? What are they going to yeah. do with it?
Yeah.
What is the hack imminent where I now have to change my bank account passwords again?
Right.
Have they already hacked my bank account, but there's not enough money in them for that to care?
I mean, that's definitely me now, especially right. post-Collider. They're just like, nah, move along. Nothing to see here. These aren't the droids we're looking for.
Oh, he is actually trying to deposit Star Wars action figures into his bank account. Sir, they don't fit in the ATM slot.
That'd be Please a great idea if I could do that. There.
Yeah.
Will you accept a sand trooper from the Power of the Force line?
You're basically Ron Swanson, how he thought that the gold was all that you really needed, and yeah. that we would eventually revert back to a system of bartering.
I think that's a great idea.
Hey, listen, I would trade a lot of stuff in my house for some of the stuff you have on your shelf right here. So.
I don't want to name drop him because he's wildly successful now mm-hmm. on the Twitch world and the social okay. media world, right? Voiceover guy. We were in the grocery store one time together and we were trying to get some stuff for like an event, and he was like on the phone with like a family member, and he's like, yeah, well, look, money's great, but I think at some point, the way the world's going, we're going to be a situation where it's going to be goods, and what do you have that you can trade for other goods? And I was like, we're going, what?
When?
What is this?
Do you know something?
Unless Power of the Force figures mean something to somebody, I'm done.
Do you want an abstract painting of Bo Jackson? Because I've got one, Ken.
I respect people's opinions and theories and sure. conspiracy theories, but that was a weird one. So anyways, all that to say, this has been kind of fascinating watching someone being taken down. I don't always like that, but it's
I will say,
yeah.
if they shut down Facebook today, there was enough social media out there
right.
that I would be totally happy. And I think there's a lot yeah. of people out there that would be fine if their Facebook went away.
It would...
It you might know, ruin a bunch of, like, bikini bloggers.
Yeah, there might be that. It's like, remember, you know, when Friendster left your life.
Right.
Remember when MySpace... I could not imagine not being on MySpace.
Yeah. I was never a Friendster guy. I got... MySpace was my first social media.
Friendster was my first. Yeah. My friend Melinda Hill
sent
me
Facebook in college and then
yeah,
and
I was a couple years older than you. A little more gray. Actually, we had about the same gray. I have less hair, though. Thanks, internet, for constantly reminding me of that. Nice avatar for your Twitch emote. Too much hair. Actually got that. I got that tweet the other day.
Yeah.
Thanks. Great. Good stuff. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it'd be like that Simpsons episode where all the like electricity goes out and the kids have to go outside and play in the sun and they all kind of like come awake again.
Yes. That's a great episode. Yeah. It's a really funny episode.
And look, I'm not one of those get rid of social media people. It's why I have a career. It's why I'm able to.
I'm saying Facebook.
Facebook itself could go away. Maybe come back reworked again.
Sure.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess there's a lot of people that work there, so there'd be a lot of people whose jobs would be affected. And I don't want to wish poorly on anybody, but I think it should be a lesson learned. I think it should be a lesson learned from this. Go back to chronological feeds.
Like chronological feeds, and when I go to the Converse website to just check things out, I don't want every ad on Facebook for the next week to be Converse.
Yeah. There was, again, another funny thing I saw posted. It was a girl saying, so I went on Facebook, and then I went on Amazon, and I bought a toilet seat, and now Facebook recommends as many toilet seat companies as possible, and so does Amazon. Hey, Amazon, I have one toilet and only need for one toilet seat.
A seat. So that's the news of the world, man. Facebook, we'll see what happens there. What do you guys think? Let us know here in the afternoons of Josh and Ken. Will we be in a Facebookless world shortly? Will Zuckerberg end up in jail? I don't know. I think it's just a principal's office talking to right now. We'll see.
I would love to know what my grandpa would think of the line that you just said, a Facebookless world. He's like, what are you guys looking at, faces and books now?
Faces?
What?
In my day, books just had pages in it.
Words. Pages.
Words.
There was an occasional drawing with a pencil. I was looking at Facebooks.
Oh, good old pencil drawing books. Indeed. News of the world. Now, Josh, let's take a look at the world of sports, a segment we call The Sidelines.
That's my whistle.
I love that.
That was a good whistle.
A referee whistle. You're more of a football guy over baseball,
yes,
right?
Definitely. I would go football, hockey, college football.
Wow.
Then baseball.
I can't understand that list, but the point is, it's your list. Baseball's my first love. And I found, interesting enough, about 3-4 years ago, I stopped watching.
Really?
Not for any reason. Not for any, putting the line in the sand.
We used to get in some funny Twitter battles. Over me making fun of baseball.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You are, I bring up painful memories there now. But I found it interesting. The World Series last year kind of brought me back.
Okay.
I got MLB The Show 18 or whatever it is on the PlayStation there. And I've been playing that. And then
Twitching it?
I've been streaming it.
Nice.
Though it's weird. I've been having a lot of fun streaming my video games because I don't get frustrated. But I get angry.
Yeah.
I hide a lot of my video game rage.
Okay.
I don't rage quit. But the baseball one, I've lost my last two games against the Orioles. I'm playing the Yankees in my franchise mode. Lost a 16-inning game on a Giancarlo Stanton error, and then lost a 10-inning game on a running mistake.
Wow.
And I was glad I wasn't streaming.
What's a full game is it a full day? Is it a 4-hour day?
You can get through in about 45 minutes to 50 minutes.
Oh.
But they have a mode now, and they may have added it the last couple of years. Last time I got a show game was 2009.
Oh, wow.
Where you can do quick play and you can kind of go through, manage it on a different screen, pitch by pitch or batter by batter, and then you can jump in the game when you want. Okay. And that cuts it down. And
I've been
re-falling in love with baseball and kind of in a weird way, re-falling in love with professional sports.
It's, you know, what's great about that, Ken, is you fit right into the baseball demographic. It's men age 35 to 60 that still really like the sport.
That's true.
You have never left the demographic.
True.
You're never going to go anywhere. You're the guy protesting outside Dodger Stadium, like, bring back my baseball. That guy that with the plastic sign about HS Sportsnet or whatever is Sportsnet LA that screwed you out of your games.
Oh, my Dodger games. Yeah, I'm a Yankee fan, but I was upset there. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right because I'm the one, because they're trying all these rules to speed up the game now, which is just silly. They're just like, you can only go to the pitcher's mound 5 times during the game total and all this kind of, there's a pitching clock. And you're like, well, that sounds great.
That sounds amazing.
And I'm like, no, baseball has no clock. It's only innings. You only have outs to count down. Don't limit anything.
People that don't know sports, put clocks in their games. It's men that don't need clocks that like pure sports.
Baseball has its own clock. So you're absolutely right. But regardless, I found I don't know. I got away from sports for a while. And I love football. Miami Dolphin fan, that makes it hard to watch football regularly. But I think it's because I got so steeped and buried myself in the geek culture the last couple of years because it became my career. And I've always been a geek, always been a nerd back when that meant something, you know? So
were you though?
I was a nerd. I was a nerd.
Okay.
In elementary school.
Okay.
Yeah, I was, because it was like, you like Star Wars? Nerd.
Okay.
No girl's gonna ever want to touch you. Like, I had all that stuff yelled at me.
I would never have considered myself a nerd per se, but I did like Star Wars. All my buddies like Star Wars.
Did you announce it?
No.
See? That was the difference in the 80s.
I didn't have a shirt that said it.
Yeah, didn't have a shirt. And I had my Emperor Vader Luke iron-on green shirt, decal shirt, man. That was I paid the price for that. But it's been nice to kind of come back, because I think sports are great. I think you can learn a lot from sports.
I think the nice thing about sports is that it is the common bond between the nerd world and the jock world, because nerds can like sports. Go ahead.
They can.
Yeah,
I always said this, and my friend Tim Power was the first to really drill it into my head. It's the same muscle.
Yeah.
Do you like rooting for Batman? Do you like rooting for Derek Jeter? They're the same. They're mythical figures you'll never be or meet in your real life.
And I think that you would be just as starstruck if a real life Batman or Derek Jeter came to your front door. You're like, what the hell is this guy?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's the same muscle. You're rooting for people in uniforms and laundry you like.
Yeah. You know? Yes. 100%.
Doing things you can't do.
Have you ever even taken a pitch at like 85?
I've gone to a batting cage at about 70.
Okay.
And that's, I would make contact after about the 10th swing.
I could like put it out and try and bunt it.
Yeah. I would foul it off. 60 I could get down.
Yeah.
And then you see this pitcher's, you know, Aroldis Chapman's throwing 105.
Yeah, which is insanity. And this Ohtani guy is hitting home runs and throwing strikeouts. Almost a perfect game.
I can't do that.
I remember we were in the hotel lobby of the Ritz-Carlton in Philadelphia, and David Wells was sitting there. The classic
big David
pitcher,
Wells.
Pitcher David
Blue
Wells.
Blue Jays, Yankees. Loved it.
And I had my little 5-month-old niece at the time. She's now 8 years old. I had her in my arms, and I was like, hey, David Wells, would you take a picture with my niece? And he's like, no problem. He just like grabbed her with one hand and was like, and just held her like this. And she was like, I had her with, like, in my two arms, basically. David Wells had hands
palming your niece.
Palming my niece. And when you meet professional athletes, especially football players, especially basketball players, but even major leaguers, they are just genetically different from us.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I mean, maybe like a Jacoby Ellsbury or
somebody
like that who's like 5'7", but is still a freak.
Yeah, no, they're still doing things we can't do, and that's kind of the old Jim Rome thing. It's like, well, of course, they're going to get $5 million a year because they can hit a baseball 500 feet. You cannot. There's a demand for someone who can.
Correct.
So I've never had a big problem with the money because it's a billion-dollar industry. You know, when you and I appear on these shows, you know, talking nerd stuff and movies,
we expect
some of the money that you're generating off of us. That's how it works. And if you're generating billions, a million's not a bad percentage.
100%, dude. There's, I mean, you can't tell me that there's 10 people in this world that can throw a football into the hands of a receiver and win football games 90% of the time.
Right.
And make the playoffs and win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You can't even, if Tom Brady went out, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo did things last year. Amazing.
Niners,
even the fourth pitcher in the rotation isn't Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, too. Like, just to
3.5 ERA, whatever.
Get to the major leagues as a utility infielder.
Right.
You're leaps and bounds ahead of anyone else around you.
A bullpen catcher.
Yes.
For Christ's sake, is better than anything I'll ever do sports-wise.
I used to be a catcher in Little League.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine catching like a 95-mile-per-hour fastball with a batter in front of you swinging.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it.
A lot. Like 150 times, over 162 times a year.
Yeah.
Multiply that times that. I'm not a mathematician, but that's a lot.
I think that's like $50,000. When I was in sixth grade, I thought I'd be a baseball player. So I wrote a little story for like creative writing. And it was my first season with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Because Keith Hernandez wrote a book after the 85 season with the Mets. And then Gary Carter, my favorite player, wrote a book after the 86 season. So this is about 87, 88.
Those are two New York Times bestsellers there.
Yeah, and it was good. Gary Carter wrote a sequel too, the late Gary Carter. So I wrote my version of it the dot matrix printer. And in it, like, it was like, I signed with the Yankees today a 4-year contract worth $50,000. Because I was like 11. It was like, that's a lot of money.
If you break that down to a game, that's like $220 a game, maybe less, if you take out taxes.
Yeah, it's like if you're a pop culture commentator on a web show. That's what I was predicting my future money-wise. just not grow wise.
Hey, how much is Knapsack worth? Oh, but, you know, about 150 bucks.
220 today. Yeah. It was like the unemployment version of Major League Baseball.
Well, he went 0 for 13 in his first two games in the bigs. They were long games, 0 for 7, 0 for 6.
Son of a bitch.
That, I tell you what, though. Yeah. You know, the nice thing is that baseball is kind of cyclical at times.
Yeah.
And maybe the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, it's kind of been superstarless. And now there's two of them that people venture out to see.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the last kind of superstars that you really went to see. Because, you know, if you bought a ticket, you really had to time your time to see a Clayton Kershaw or something like that.
Right, pitching,
whatever. Now you've got Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton on the same team. That are hitting balls miles. You've got this Ohtani guy in California.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a lot of talent in the league right now that are stars. And that's, I've never really been a huge Rick Riley fan. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought he was good, but I thought his articles and, like, his stuff got really repeatable and repetitive. So, but he made this point about, you know, when Tiger had his dominance in golf of, well, the last couple of years, only a few golfers have won, you know, there's been no dominance, and that's boring. And that's true. Having a dominant star in the game, i.e. LeBron James, i.e. Michael Jordan, the biggest times of those leagues are when a star dominates and you either have the people that love him or the people that hate him. There's nobody in between going like, I don't mind LeBron James.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I like Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah. Right? Brett Favre's all right.
Yeah, I like Brett Favre.
He plays. He still plays. Yeah.
Oh, I don't mind Tom Brady. You either love Tom Brady or you effing hate him.
Or you begrudgingly respect him like me, but want him to break his hand. Yes.
I mean, you either love Pete Weber Jr. or you hate him. Yeah, there's a bowling reference, kids. There's a bowling reference.
What's interesting about sports is I grew up in Central Coast of California, which means if you like a baseball fan like me, you had two choices, Giants or Dodgers. So I chose Yankees.
Okay.
It came to it because I played on a softball team in fourth grade in my school lunch recess league. It was Yankees. I was like, oh, I think I'll like this team.
Okay.
And I became a Miami Dolphin fan because when they played the 49ers in 84, 85 Super Bowl, everyone in my school was rooting for the 49ers. I was like, oh, I'll root for the Dolphins, right?
Yes.
So I become a California-born New York Yankee Miami Dolphin fan. I never set foot in the city of Miami.
Okay.
And
really?
Until 2015, I'd never been to New York.
Wow.
And people would be like, wow.
Wait, was I there the first time you went to New York?
No, Screen Junkies with Dan Merle.
Oh, got it.
Took me around town. Hal Rudnick and I. Great time. And then you guys the next year, we had a great time with you guys, too.
Great times.
And I love it. So, but I didn't grow up with this concept because my family, my dad wasn't a big sports fan. My mom, not a sports fan. So no one said, hey, son, I was a Mariners fan growing up. It's time to become a Mariners fan.
Right.
You, though, grew up in Pittsburgh where it's infused into your water put into your blood.
Uh-huh.
How was that?
I mean, there's more guys with Steelers tattoos or Penguins tattoos, or just black and gold. They put that Pittsburgh, that pirate P on their arm, or they have, you know, those tattoos you see where it looks like somebody took a claw and ripped open your skin, and instead of blood, it's like the colors of your teams, or like the American flag, like I bleed red, white, and blue, or I bleed black and gold. I don't know how many tattoos I've seen like that. I have a buddy from high school who got the Lombardi Trophy tattooed on his back.
Wow.
And then has enough room to go around it. He's got the 6 Super Bowl logos tattooed around the trophy.
Oh, on his back. Wow.
On his back. I mean, it is a work of art, all for the Steelers. I mean, Ken, I would imagine that's somewhere around $4,000 to $5,000 worth of tattooing.
Yeah.
And that's, on a man's back.
And then again, I don't have any tats simply because I can't commit to any ideal for long enough to want to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to a tattoo parlor like 5 or 6 times when I lived in Rome because I was going to get the SPQR, the Mark of the Legion that Russell Crowe has in Gladiator. I'd go in there drunk once a month and just be like, I'm going to do it. I'm doing it this time. Never went through it. It couldn't. Like, he'd fire up that needle. Like, you know what? You know what, man?
We're good.
I thought about it.
We're good.
My bad.
Yeah, people are always like, Ken, you look Star Wars. Do you have like the Rebel or Imperial insignia? I'm like, you know, we'll see after the next movie. You know, like, I don't know.
I'm going to get a Solo, a Star Wars story tattooed on me. And they're like, that's the worst one. I'm like, I did not see that coming.
When did you first realize you had to be a Steelers fan?
When I bought a Bo Jackson. I got a Bo Jackson.
Oh yeah.
Remember the Riddell outfits where you got the jersey and the pants and the helmet and it was that plastic. I was probably 6, 5 years old, even younger, whatever. So Bo Jackson, joins the Raiders in 86. So I was 4.
Shit.
It was 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my mom gets me one of those Riddell packs with everything Bo Jackson and my dad, it came out of the package on Christmas morning and I can still remember looking at it. And I have a weirdly good memory, man. Like, I have a photographically weird memory. And I always, whenever I say that, I always sound cocky, and I hate that. But like,
I have a photographic memory.
No, but I remember these weird things, right? When I was very young, and I can expand on them. But I remember sitting there Christmas morning going, oh, and my dad looking at my mom going, why does he have a Raiders outfit? And she was like, John, his favorite player is Bo Jackson. He goes, I don't care. Because the Raiders and the Steelers at that time had a really good rivalry, right?
And I remember a Mark Malone jersey.
Yeah. Where's his Louis Lips Riddell? Because we didn't, dude, you know, once Bradshaw was gone, we had some lean years there at quarterback.
Louis Mark Lips, Malone, number 83, I think. 88.
Okay. 88 was Louis Lips. Good classic, you know, Merrill Hodge at running back, Barry Foster, remember Foster. Barry Foster?
The muffed kickoff. Frisco. Yeah, I remember
good
that.
Good Lord. I mean, we had some talented guys, but we, you know, we'd make the wild card playoff, we'd win the division here and there, but we didn't do much until Neil O'Donnell came in, and he lost the Super Bowl against Dallas. Then we were really thin.
He was on the take.
Tommy the Gun Maddox. Yeah, he was on the take. Tom Zach, all those guys. Regardless, I remember we went to we'd go to my grandma's house for Christmas, and I wore my Bo Jackson outfit.
Oh, no.
And our entire family was like, what the hell is going on? What are you doing as parents? This is terrible. And Ben's in his Steelers outfit.
Yeah,
he's Ben's got like a pipe. Like, he's ready to go. Ben was,
and Ben's a couple years older than you, right? So he's just like, I'm the good kid.
I'm the good kid. I got it. And then here's Bo Jackson in the black and silver.
Black sheep Joshy over here.
So my dad said, I remember about a month or two later, I think it was February, he said, Josh, you know, I know you love Bo Jackson, but you can't wear the Raiders stuff in the house anymore. I mean, they were legit talking about it. I mean, I'm a four-year-old kid. And that's when I realized, you know, this is like Rudy when the friend asks if they could turn on the Purdue game, and the dad says, this is a Notre Dame household, right? Yes. This is a Pittsburgh household. We watch the Pirates, we watch the Penguins, and we watch the Steelers. Wow. And on Sundays, the house stops, and we root for the Steelers. And that was that, man. By the time I turned five or six, I still loved Bo Jackson, but I hated the Raiders, hated any team that played against the Steelers, Pirates, Penguins. And I was, I mean, dude, the things that molded my entire life, my childhood, all that boils down to Pittsburgh sports.
Pittsburgh sports.
Sid Bream sliding into home against the Atlanta Braves when we played the Atlanta Braves. Last time the Pirates were even close to a World Series.
Yeah.
We've been in the playoffs the last, you know, 5 years.
Yeah, it's
on
been
and
a
off,
good
whatever,
team.
But never,
they're already rebuilding. But yeah, the 91-92 Pirates, good team.
I mean, Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla,
Andy
Van Slyke. Doug Drabeck.
Spanky the Volier.
Yeah. Chico Lean at second.
Chico Lean. Junior Ortiz.
Yeah, Junior Ortiz. And I remember watching that game and my dad bawling as a man, crying.
Yeah.
My mom turning off the TV and just walking upstairs in silence. Me as a kid not sleeping that night. And I still think about, you know, what in my life, when you have I'm like, well, at least I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm. And then, you know, my grandfather died 2 days after we lost to the Cowboys in the Super Bowl in 95.
Oh, wow.
Some of the worst times of my life. And then there's victories, you know, when we won the Stanley Cup in 91-92 and the back-to-back years with Yager and Lemieux.
Oh, good years, yes.
Those are the things that you talk about with your friends that you always reminisce about, that you can always bring up and you can argue. And you see the Stanley Cup and you think about mullets and Lemieux. It is ingrained in your thing. You never rooted for anybody else. Anytime you met somebody from Pittsburgh and they were like, well, I like the Pirates, not really so much a Penguins fan or a Steelers fan. I was like, then you're not from Pittsburgh.
You're not from Pittsburgh.
Sorry, dude.
Do you not like ketchup either?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
What's wrong?
Do you not like pierogies? Do you not like Dirty Rivers where you could possibly get really bad salmonella? Come on. Legionnaires' disease flows through those rivers.
Josh is crying really hard at his grandfather's funeral. And they're like, is Josh going to be okay? But you're like, Larry Allen wasn't even a good quarterback. Now he's going to get a big contract with the Raiders. He doesn't deserve it.
Yancey Thigpen turns left. O'Donnell throws it to nobody.
Josh is really broken up.
Sorry, guys.
No. Great. Yeah, in a weird way, I wish.
Yeah.
Because like I don't follow college sports. And I think part of the reason is I didn't go to a big four-year university where I could get behind my team.
Yeah.
I see you. I see Ellis. I see Riley talking about USC. I mean, he loves it. And I sometimes am jealous of that.
Yeah.
So I think you're okay.
I think there's a lot of schools out there, though, a lot of four-year schools that didn't have the sports, obviously, that we did.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I'd had friends that went to school at, say, an Allegheny College, which has 1,200 kids. They would come up for football weekends.
Big powerhouse.
You know, big powerhouse in the D3.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in San Luis Obispo, Cal Poly, the Mustangs.
Yeah.
They had some players that, you know, we'd hear one's like a practice quarterback now in the NFL, kind of stuff. But we didn't have the big time school. It got bigger as time went on. And then our head coach went on to be like the assistant cornerbacks coach for the Patriots.
Oh, there
you go. It was like, oh, okay, good.
Well, do you remember in All the Right Moves when Craig T. Nelson is the coach, Tom Cruise is the running back in a little town called Ampipe in Pennsylvania outside Pittsburgh? Even though that town doesn't exist, it's based on a town called Ambridge.
Okay.
And he gets Tom Cruise at the end of that movie. He gets him a scholarship to Cal Poly,
really,
because he's going to be the head coach from this tiny steel town school to go to Cal Poly and coach and coach.
You want to come there to be an engineer?
Yeah,
come to Cal Poly.
That's it.
There you go.
Stefan Djordjevic is Tom Cruise's name, and he wants to be an engineer but also a football player.
That's the place.
The only
to
way
go.
Out of Ampipe, Pennsylvania.
Cal Poly Slow Mustangs.
Yeah. Did you happen to watch any of the Joe Paterno documentary?
I haven't watched it yet with Pacino there. I got to catch up on that.
That's a tough one.
Tough to take. Different conversation for a different time,
yes,
I guess 100%. You would say.
Yeah.
That's the sidelines where we take a look at sports and the sporting world and everything around it there. But, Josh, we have a segment we do here called Don't Judge Me.
Don't Judge Me, Ken.
Where you kind of confess something but then ask, as you just said, don't judge me.
I'm a man.
Yeah.
I'm just a man with simple taste sometimes, Ken.
Yeah.
Okay? I stopped watching Legion because I just don't get it.
Okay.
Okay? Don't judge me. I don't get it.
What have you done?
Ken?
Yeah.
There was a little show a few years back, somewhere around 2009, that exploded onto the scene.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
Like Bo Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
With the Kansas City Royals. Okay?
Two sports star.
It was called, a little show called Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore.
And the Jersey Shore captivated a nation, and especially a kid that had been to Seaside Heights, New Jersey. A kid that had spent summers on the Jersey Shore. Maybe in a classier part of the Jersey Shore, Ken.
Sure.
But the Jersey Shore, nonetheless.
All right. Under the boardwalk, yeah.
And it ran for five seasons.
We
were graced with people like Snooki and The Situation. Ronnie.
Oh, yeah.
Vinny. J-Wow.
J-Wow's the other girl. J-Wow. I remember her. Yeah.
There's the other one who nobody knows. And then, and of course, there was the love connection between Sam and Ronnie.
Right.
Stop. Well, it went away, right?
It ended, yeah.
It ended.
Yeah.
Like all good things, they must come to an end.
Or some things just end, yeah.
Yeah. And they brought it back, Ken.
Oh, no.
MTV brought it.
We're bringing back all the shows back.
It's called Jersey Shore Family Reunion.
Is it like a one-time event, or it's a?
I believe it's a mini series.
A mini series.
Okay. I don't know if they're going to turn it in, but apparently the ratings were through the roof.
I would imagine.
And guess who watched it, Ken?
I'm going to guess a little Joshua McCougar from Pittsburgh.
He DVR'd it.
Oh, saved it for posterity.
Saved it for later. And I got to tell you, Ken, I enjoyed the shit out of it. I can't tell you how much I missed those people. Not because, here's the thing.
Yeah.
It is so easy to make fun of. So, but there's something.
I get that. Yeah.
It's like watching that train crash that just happens, right?
Yeah.
It's like watching your buddy go off a dirt jump when he was a kid on his BMX, knowing full well he was going to crash.
Probably lose a tooth.
Like watching your really drunk buddy take one more shot. You know, whatever's going to happen next, it's not going to be good.
Right.
And that's what the Jersey Shore people did. They were away for a while. We haven't seen them for a while.
Uh-huh.
One's going to go to jail for tax evasion. But the judge.
Is he on?
Yeah. The judge said, you know what? Go to Miami with your friends one more time.
One more time before
you go. He pled guilty. He's going to see a little bit of jail time. He tried to tax evade.
Tax evade.
Tax evade.
Sounds very like it's an elf in
hashtag it, tax
Lord
evasion.
Of the Rings world.
Yeah.
Evage is here to save us in our hour of need.
He is Lord Evage of the tax. It's like a valley. Oh, be careful wandering through the tax, for Lord Evage dwells there.
Years ago, there was an alliance between men and Evage. We are here to honor that allegiance. Yes. Yes. That's
so,
it.
So the one girl who came on in season two, who nobody really liked, was really annoying, got so much plastic surgery, and she lives in like a shanty in New Jersey. The rest of them are super rich. Pauly D, he's a DJ in Vegas. He makes millions of dollars a year. Vinny lives in a mansion in Staten Island. Obviously, he couldn't go far from his mom. Ronnie lives in a mansion in Vegas as well. I don't know why Ronnie's in Vegas. I'm guessing he's a club promoter or something
definitely
now.
There's a connection between Jersey Shore and Vegas.
And Vegas. Yeah, yeah. That's why there's a direct flight from Pittsburgh to Las Vegas, Ken. That part of the East Coast loves it.
Right.
Pittsburgh loves the Jersey Shore, and they love Las Vegas.
Right.
Jay Wow, huge house, married to the guy that she met at the Jersey Shore, a couple kids. Snooki got her entire face redone. Her and Jay Wow, all the girls. So much plastic surgery, we don't even remember them.
Really?
The tragedy, though, Ken?
Yeah.
Is that Sam did not come to the family reunion. Sammy's sweetheart did not want to see Ron. She didn't want to go through the drama.
She didn't want to do it anymore.
Sammy is done. This is like when
Dennis Lawson, the actor who played Wedge in Star Wars, didn't want to come back for Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Why would you do that,
I don't
Sammy?
Know. I don't know.
Just too much, huh?
Just, it might have been too much. Her and Ron were together for a long time after the show, and they never got married. They never had a kid.
It was one of those good love affairs.
And, once you go back, like they say in Glory Days.
Mm-hmm. Glory Days.
In the wink of the young girl's eye, Glory Days. You know, you can't go back, Ken.
Yeah.
And, is that the song? Once you're gone, you can never go.
I think Avish once said...
you mean Avage?
Avage once said, you can never return to the land that you are from. We are here to never go back.
That was it. The heart was broken and the heart can never be mended. But Ken, don't judge me. It's okay. Entertaining.
I am not going
to. The situation
judge
used to be ripped, but all this legal trouble has given... He's put on some weight. He doesn't have the abs anymore.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
A little ab off. No more.
Pauly D's hair is still vertical.
That's good.
You know?
You know what? Here I am. I've heard your case. I've heard your plea. And I will not judge you, Josh.
Thanks, Ken.
And I don't think anyone listening should judge you.
Okay.
Because let me tell you, man, we all, in the course of our lives, need to just turn off our brains, turn on the TV, and just veg out.
Sometimes.
All right?
That's what the CW is for.
Yeah. I know they brought back the show Trading Spaces with Paige Davis. That was one of my favorite shows.
Okay.
Could turn off my mind and just watch it and float downstream.
Correct.
So, you know, if I got to go to a Trading Spaces live event, I wouldn't want you to judge me, and I'm not going to judge you for your Jersey Shore family reunion.
Yes.
I'm sure people out there, though, might judge you, and that's okay. Yeah. We'll let them there.
Yeah.
Don't judge Josh. Don't judge Josh.
Thanks,
you know,
Ken.
Josh, every now and then we need some wisdom.
We do.
And you and I are fans of two of the all-time great movies, and from those movies we pull wisdom. So from time to time here in the show, you're going to give us the wisdom of Bad Boys 2.
Yep, greatest sequel ever made.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you the wisdom from Young Guns 2.
One of the greatest sequels ever made.
That's right. So here's the wisdom from Young Guns 2 that we're going to talk about today. The name is Hendry William French. Alan Ruck played this character in Young Guns 2. A farmer taken advantage of by Mr. Chisholm, played by James Coburn. And he doesn't know what to do, so he turns to the former renegades. He turns to these outlaws, Billy the Kid, Doc Scurlock, taken from New York, pressed back into this action. And they go face down Mr. Chisholm. And he's tough. It's James Coburn. You think you're New Mexico? Well, by God, I am New Mexico. And they're having this standoff, right? And then it's Hendry William French who speaks up in Alan Ruck's broken little nervous voice. Mr. Chisholm, you took from my farm, Mr. Chisholm. You took from a lot of people's farms, Mr. Chisholm. And he's part of the gang. Mr. Chisholm, you're not taking my cows no more. And Hendry William French, he wants a nickname. Because, you know, you got Chavez E. Chavez, and I dare say Doc isn't his Christian given name, Josiah Doc Scurlock, and Billy the Kid, William H. Bonney. And so the whole movie, he wants to be part of this. He wants this. And then when things go wrong at the end of the movie, things are falling apart. Billy the Kid, brokenhearted by some of the losses, maybe the mistakes he's made, turns to Hendry William French and says, Buckshot George, that's your name. You want a name? That's your name. And Hendry William French, who's gone on this journey, who has learned, who wanted to be something he's not, is now at this point, he looks at Billy Kid and says, my name is Hendry William French. Billy Kid says, that's a good name too, and goes on off. And the lesson, the wisdom of Young Guns 2.
Give it to me, Ken.
In this particular segment and instance here, Josh, is to be who you are.
Yeah.
Get behind a cause you believe in. Hendry William French did, but you don't need to be Buckshot George. You need to be who you were born to be. That is the lesson, one of many in Young Guns 2.
You can be a pit boss.
That's
right.
But
at the end of the day, you're Ken Knapsack.
Right. You could be the wild man.
Correct.
But who is Josh McCougar?
Correct.
That is the value.
True path of a true identity.
Right.
I think we learned that from Gary Shandling as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that is the wisdom of Young Guns 2.
I appreciate it, Ken.
And as we wrap up the show, Josh, we're going to look ahead to the listeners' weeks, and we're going to let them know maybe what to expect. It's the closing segment we like to call Your Week Ahead.
It's the week ahead.
The week ahead. We need like someone to sing that.
Yeah.
So, it's your
Where's
week
Adele
go
when you need
ahead. Yeah, Adele.
Hey, Adele, come on in.
I like Adele, you know? Dan Wilson.
I set fire.
Dan Wilson wrote her big hit there, former Semisonic lead singer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Dan Wilson. Dan Wilson wrote the
song. Dude, I love Semisonic.
Semisonic was great. Shoo. Minnesota band, big in my radio days. Yeah. We're going to look at your week ahead based on some of the week now. Maybe we'll prepare you for the week. We'll look at a horoscope and tell you what's going on. But because of the news of this week, Josh, Facebook kind of going under maybe, you know, whether or not that happens, we'll see. But your information is just all out there. We kind of look ahead to the week, and maybe you have to be aware of something that MySpace did to your life. You might be surprised where your information ends up, and your thoughts about going to a restaurant will suddenly appear on screen.
Yeah.
We want you to be ready for that.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah. We want you to know. You want to look at some horoscopes?
Yeah, let's do a horoscope.
I'm Aquarius. You're Aquarius.
Yeah.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Another thing they mentioned in that Shandling documentary.
Yeah. He was big enough.
I can't recommend that documentary high enough. If you're talking about a week ahead.
Oh, absolutely.
Spend your week with some documentaries in the week ahead.
Absolutely.
And spend your time, the Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling. It's two parts. It's almost 5 hours of a documentary.
Prepare yourself. It's fantastic.
It's an emotional roller coaster.
And then go for it. I haven't had a chance to take it in yet, but you have the documentary Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant. HBO. Spend your week ahead checking out the Andre the Giant documentary, Ken. Yeah. I cried like a baby at the end of it. And you know me. I'm not a huge pro wrestling fan.
No, you're not.
I know nothing about it. I just thought that Andre the Giant fought Hulk Hogan every week on Monday Night Raw. I didn't even know. Okay? I knew nothing about it other than
not
the fact
quite,
that,
yes.
that they fought in a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And they showed that match and they talk all about it. And, you know, Andre the Giant was a gentle giant. He literally was. Yeah. And they interview everybody from Rob Reiner, Billy Crystal, to Hulk Hogan, Vince McMahon.
Robin Wright Penn.
Oh, they interview Robin Wright Penn. Ken, it is the most loving, most touching, I'm telling you, emotional documentary I've ever watched.
Wow.
That's
going to be my week ahead because I've been waiting for it and I just couldn't watch it the first night it came out.
Man.
I got Aquarius up here.
Okay,
right?
Pull it up.
So it says here, tending to paperwork could take up much of your time today, Aquarius. A lot could be right in your careful planning and projection. So you're probably taking it very seriously. Nonetheless, don't be intimidated. Trust your instincts. You know what you're doing. Be very thorough. Check everything over carefully and then put your plan into action and wait for it to bear fruit. I like that.
Okay. So I got to be planning some stuff.
You got to be planning.
I feel like
stuff.
I've been planning a lot of things.
This week, some planning's been going down.
Yeah. We had a nice planning breakfast.
Yes.
Some planning texts.
Yes.
Some planning emails.
Oh, yeah.
Is my week ahead full of plans, Ken?
Or those plans coming to fruition. I like that.
I like it. I feel like that, you know, horoscopes are basically long-winded fortune cookies.
Yes.
Right? And fortune cookies anymore are basically just words of advice. They're like, hey, be good to people. There's not even a fortune
here's
anymore.
Here's your winning numbers.
Yeah, you'll come into money. I always used to like that one where it's like, you're going to do great things. I'm like, yeah, I am. Right. Hell yeah, I'm going to do great things. No, right. Now you just get like, hey, way to go and finish that General Tso's chicken.
You ready for mine?
What's yours? What are you?
I'm an Aries.
Okay.
I'm on the cusp, but I'm an Aries. April 19th.
Got it.
So I just read this. My birthday's coming up.
Yeah, it is.
I'm freaked out at how accurate this is.
Oh, no.
You've been juggling career, romance, and creative interests for the past year. Aries. I love how that addresses Aries.
Aries.
Aquarius. This is apt to continue. However, you could find yourself building a new career involving writing or speaking, and perhaps in addition to your current career. You're also apt to develop a vigorous interest in improving your health. You could make a powerful effort to change your diet and exercise habits. Good luck with it all.
Did you write your own horoscope?
I almost think I did because, as you know, I've been trying to improve my health.
Yes.
Not like in the past where I've worked out and I've got a bicep injury.
I was
going to
prove
it. But I've been cooking, but all that kind of stuff. So that's apt.
Yeah.
Juggling career. You know what I've been doing this last week? Other than planning some career stuff with you?
What's that?
I've been researching how to become a corporate self-help type of speaker.
I like that.
Not like Tony Robbins.
No, of course not.
Get that out of there.
Yeah. But
I officiated your wedding and I spoke pretty well.
Fantastic.
Pulled some
People
emotional
still
strength.
Talk about it.
Right?
They put up a billboard for you in Pittsburgh. You need a wedding officiant? There's Ken Knapsack.
There's the guy.
He's a Dolphins fan. Don't judge him.
He'll talk about weddings with you.
Yeah.
It was more Chicago.
Yeah.
I apologize.
That's all right.
And I've been... So I've been having to write stories and speeches.
Yeah.
That's kind of freaking me out.
It's really good.
I'm scared right now.
I know. Maybe we should read our horoscopes
more. We should maybe do this. Look, I believe in the Lord and baby Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know about the horoscopes, but it's always a little weird.
It is, right?
It's always a little weird.
I knew this guy in New York that used to talk to me. He's like, have you ever had your star map done or your mappage or what your universal Evish? Thing? Yeah. Have you ever done your evage? Have you ever evaged?
I'll get the name right.
Yeah. Evish.
Evage?
He had Evish. Four sons. Evish, Evash, Evosh, and Evage.
That's not inaccurate. Yes. And a Prince daughter. Evish. And a daughter, Betty.
She was the least liked of all five children, but eventually became the leader of Evage.
Wow. So I think you and I, we just...
Solid.
Our week ahead is ready.
Solid.
Our week ahead is ready. You listen out there, I hope your week ahead is ready. And I hope you enjoy what's going on here with the afternoons with Josh and Ken. Why is it called the afternoons? Because who doesn't love a good lazy afternoon hanging out with friends?
Just talking.
Even if you listen to the show in the morning or the evenings, doesn't matter. It's always the afternoons in our hot, Josh. Uh-huh. So that's it for this week. You can follow Josh at Josh McGuga, me at Kat Knapsack, and we'll see you next time here on the Afternoons with Josh and Kat.